You're good to go.
We're good to go.
All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. And of course, this is season three. So I do invite you to have a look at the two previous seasons. There might be some topics there that resonate with you in your reality today. So I do invite you to go have a look at that. And today I have a great guest. I'm so happy to have her back on. I have the wonderful Jennifer LeClaire Avery with me. If you want to look into season two, I believe it was in season two she came in. We started chatting there. And I'm having ba her back on today because she does have a book. She's all about helping our teens. So this is really the topic we'll be talking about, the one that all parents really need more support with is how do I handle my teen? So thank you so much, Jennifer, for coming on and joining me again. I really appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you for having me back. I know that last time we were in chatting about it, I was in the midst of developing it. So
Yeah.
it's pretty exciting to be back here to actually have something to show you, and then just kind of go through the process of that. So I really appreciate you having me back. And I just wanted to take an opportunity that we have it in place. It's actually in my hand now, which is so exciting. A really small book, right? It's not a big book, but inside the content of it, there's just so much richness and so much in it that I'm excited to kind of share with you today.
I love.
In that, so I'm looking forward to giving you some key points on how I could possibly get this written right for teens, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, but
Yes.
also, just the depth of trying to master this when I wasn't ever going to be an author. It was never in the plans. It was going to be, the counseling that I do and the coaching. Never once did I think of becoming an author. And wow, there's a lot to learn, but it's been a fun process. And I'm actually, I don't know if I should share this out loud, but I'm actually in the process of writing book number two.
Yes, I love that. And it's so true. Most people do say that. I didn't think I had a book in me, but once the first one's out, all the other ones are popping in our heads. So yes, it's a very common thing to have the second one. And I'm just so happy to see the journey. Because like you said, when we first talked on a previous episode, it was in the works. And we hear a lot of people say it's in the works, but to actually see it, holding it's tangible.
I know.
Not today, Frank. I love that book. That's your baby right there. So before we start talking about this book, can you, for those who may not have heard the first episode, can you briefly talk about yourself and how you got to where we are today?
Sure, I would love that. So, my journey, I've been working with youth for over 20 years, and my journey has been all over the place in terms of coaching. I've done workshops, and I also do some counseling. My focus is in addiction counseling primarily. The reason why I tapped into the addiction work is because we're seeing a big area in our youth right now that are struggling in that department, whether it's through gaming, substance use and stuff. So I really put all my efforts into diving into addictions because it kind of lands where it needs to land when I'm working with youth. I also have another part of my company, which is the coaching part, which is where I build in workshops and life skills soft coaching. And in that area, it's basically everything from building resilience, confidence, emotional regulation, conflict resolution, relationships, and stuff like that. So I actually wear two hats. And when I'm actually working with my clients, and the families, I try to instill both the coaching and the counseling in sessions. So it's kind of like a hybrid approach. And I find that's very effective when I'm working with, youth of today, because they don't all need counseling. Some very much do, depending on what we're working through. But mostly, what I find is the skills that I support youth with tend to be more around the soft skill and just the coaching on how to navigate the waters of just being a teen, because it's tough right now. And so that's kind of what I've been doing in the more recent years, working in my private clinic. But in the past, I've done a lot of like workshops and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I land in today's world with youth, for sure.
Oh, you're right in it. It's just like it right in the fire of it because there's so much, like you said, especially nowadays. I think our youth are going through so much more. It's almost adult problems, but
Yes.
very early in the where their brain cannot process it yet. So I like the idea that you got a book to help as a tool that speaks their language, that speaks to their reality. I do want to ask though, because we've talked about this off camera, was how is it, or how do you start writing a book, or to build the book when you're dealing with an audience that's not really into reading anymore? So can you talk to us a little bit about those challenges?
Yes. So as I started my journey in thinking about what could I provide as a tool for families, I was actually starting a book off with parents. But then I paused and I kind of said, maybe this isn't the timing because we do have a lot of books out there for parenting. Maybe I should refocus my energy and land in a place for teens. So the preliminary start process seemed really exciting. I'm going to do a teen book. However, once I got into the depth of trying to put this together, I realized I actually had to pause for a second. And I said to myself, whew, have I ever taken on a big challenge here? It's not just words to paper. And I paused those moments of probably frustration, trying to say to myself, how is it that I make this book come alive? Because here's the truth. When I'm working with youth, I work between two worlds, right? And what I mean by that is I spend most of my time with youth in their fast-paced digital world, because that's where they love to live, is there. And then the world that I try to bring them back to is the world of reality, right? That's the world where we're with our friends and we're trying to stay connected to the earth and books and just old time stuff, right? So, but most of my work is always, I'm caught between these two worlds when I'm working with them. And I thought, how is it that I bring a book to life that can combine these two worlds into one? And it wasn't until I actually spent some time in my own thoughts that I thought, okay, I need to bring this book to life with color, obviously lots of pictures because they're very visual. And then very simple language, very short, simple, because you like 15 seconds attention span. So the chapters that I wrote are very short. They could be anywhere between 3 or 4 pages. And it's very specific. So I knew that they were never going to read a book from start to finish. Not too many teens love to do that. And so I actually started the book by saying, I don't want you to read the book from start to finish. What I want you to do is I want you to just, whatever you're struggling with, and each chapter is clearly labeled the emotions or whatever it is that they're struggling with. They just have to go to that immediate chapter. And I made a comment in the book that, if it can, it would take you a minute to 3 minutes to read that one section. That it takes that you spend hours and hours of scrolling through, the TikTok or whatever it is, Instagram that they're looking at. And I kind of preface that at the beginning of the book. So it kind of takes the pressure off of them to hold the book. But what I also had to do, because I knew that wasn't going to be effective enough, is I ended up building in some QR codes throughout the book. And in the QR codes, they scan it and then they'll get videos of me talking to them in real time and encouraging them throughout so that they have a connection to the reader. So there's three videos that they're going to see. I also built in some apps that they can gravitate to so that they can get back onto their devices so that they're not feeling like they're just stuck in a boring book. But I'll tell you, trying to meet them half. The book, I was trying to meet them halfway in their digital world and reality world. And I found it to be a struggle. However, I think when I really sat down and paused and put it all into place, I feel like I managed as best as I can given what youth are today, right? I have had some good feedback from some of the youth and some of my clients. They said that it was quite humorous. So I think humor always draws them in. And I think that they appreciated with the feedback that I've received to date in the youth department, that it wasn't long and lengthy. It was just very simple, clear steps to get them somewhere. And most of them found that when they applied it, it actually worked. So then it drove them to want to go back into the book. Again, though, as much as I say all the positive, it's still a challenge to get these books into the hands of our youth, right? And I do notice that as much as I've done as much as I possibly can to bring that book to life, it still sits in a very flat place for our youth. However, the parents are picking it up, which isn't really what it's supposed to be for them. And it's given them enough knowledge as they flip through that they can now take that and then help their whether it's students or whether it's their own children, help them through those steps from behind the scenes rather than actually handing them the book. So in actual fact, it was never meant to be for parents or for educators, but they're grabbing onto it and helping youth through it without having them read the book. So I guess it was a success. I don't know. We'll see, but so far it's going in that direction.
I love how that turns, because I've had a similar experience with my book, where it's in your mind when you're creating it is for a specific audience, but you realize the parents need just as much. This is something that we as parents wished we would have gotten when we were teens. It's information that it kind of validates what we went through and go, oh, I knew it, you know, and then they can pass that forward to their children. So I just love how it's also reaching out to the parents, because a lot of the times, I guess that leads me right into my question, is teens specifically are not going to naturally reach for a book like adults would. They would turn to Google. So can you talk to us a little bit about what happens, you know, turning to Google for a quick answer versus what you offer in your book in terms of support?
Yes, I think that's kind of, it pitied back to what I was saying earlier in terms of teens love a quick fix. And so most of what they gravitate to is let's Google something or let's go through a TikTok, whatever it is that they're trying to look for. And, you know, with TikTok or even Google, I find Google sometimes, though, they don't want to spend the time reading through it. But TikTok especially, it's about 45 seconds. And it's often just the tip of information, but it's never going to give them enough of what they need. And so when they get these TikTok renditions or these influencers that are sharing how to manage anxiety or how to communicate when you've broken up with a friendship or something like that, you can't really provide the youth with a 45 second answer and then the quick fix then just follows immediately. So when I'm working with youth, they'll say, well, it's not working, or you know, this, I've learned this and this about anxiety or how to communicate, but when I apply it, it kind of goes flat or it doesn't work. And so I spend a lot of time in education around the difference between a 45 second influencer TikTok example versus actually what the real life skill is requiring. And so, you know, there's lots out there on how to manage anxiety. So they might, a TikTok influencer might provide them with a quick fix on a breathing technique or, you know, putting cold cloths on the back of your neck or something like that. They also might have them do a reflection or a distraction to remove themselves from that anxiety. However, nobody actually takes the time in TikTok to actually explain to the youth what's happening with their nervous system. How is the brain, the mind mapping or the mind management of the brain, and how does that correspond to their nervous system and their emotional reactions to things, right? And so when I actually sit down and take the time to go through the science and the understanding behind it, and then apply those 45 second techniques that TikTok is doing, then the whole picture comes together. And so when I was developing the book, I really spent a lot of time in that space for kids because they're not getting the right or enough information on TikTok and it's not landing properly through their real life experience. And I think that, you know, we can't download emotional resilience. You know, I often say to them, like, our goal here is the work that you have to do, your personal growth and working through that. You can't have a quick fix in 45 seconds. You need repetition, you need practice, you need to experience the uncomfortable. You need to figure out how that feels, name your emotion, name what you're feeling, navigate through that uncomfortable or work through things over and over again, because we're building muscle mass in our mind. And we're working through that mind management that requires that muscle to keep working. So it's, again, once you put that all into that kind of format, they have this aha moment and they're like, ah, okay. And then they can kind of fall back into TikTok and gravitate to some of those quick fixes. And I think that's where the disconnect is happening with our youth, because I think that is a disservice, and it's where kids are landing with not the right skills and tools to really know how to manage their emotions, anxiety, and so forth. So that to me is a challenge moving ahead, because when we were growing up, we never had that, right?
Right.
And that's the difference. And so now we need to just kind of create a little bit more education and understanding around it. In just 45 seconds.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
It's tough. It's tough.
It is. And like you say, when we're in a generation, a few generations where we just want results fast, we want knowledge to come through really quickly. And of course, with the social media platforms where we're looking for more views, the information that's given is not always in the best interest of the viewer. So we were talking about addictive behaviors, which is what you work with. Sometimes they just substitute one issue to another one. Let's just camouflage it with shopping or other addictive behaviors that may not actually be helping, but adding fuel to the fire. So it
Yeah.
is, I love your take on that, the fact that yes, those are good techniques, but there's no backstory to it, no explanation, no science. And I mostly work with younger children, but I do notice with the youth that once you explain the why behind it, they
Yeah.
really appreciate it, and they integrate it, I think, even better than we used to, where they get the why behind it, it clicks automatically, and they're like, oh, and they will actually share it with their friends, which is what I
That's right.
enjoy watching as well, is we didn't talk about this when we were growing up, but these new generations actually share and say, well, you should try this because of this, and this. And I just love watching that they're becoming their own little coaches, life coaches in their own circles. I think it's great.
And you know what? I'm so glad you said that, because the why is something that I use every minute of every day. So when I'm working with youth, I always give them the why. They'll say, and then I explain, here's the why, and then they accept it. Or if they don't accept it, I may need to tighten up the why a little bit more, but it always makes them calmer. Or they're a generation that does a lot of research and they do a lot of time in that. So why is so important. So I'm really happy that you brought that up. But just as important as it is for our youth, the why with parents. So when I'm working alongside with parents, because I don't just work with youth, I work holistically with the entire home. I think through all the emails that I write to parents when I'm giving them parent tips, or if I'm just meeting with parents on a phone call, I always say, you need to provide your children with the why. You don't just say you can't, you need to explain why. And I think I must say why 1,000 times a day in my work day, because that is the number one like masterpiece word that I use consistently. And I just found that quite refreshing to hear you use that, because I agree with you 100%.
Yes, it's so much effective than the just because I said so, or because that's the way it is, or that's the way it was when I was growing up, and
That's
then
right.
and
That's
that's
right.
what I and I also loved when I do work with the older children or young adults, I always come in thinking they're going to be teaching me something because they're from a different world that I'm not a part of, that I was
Yes.
not a part of. And so I think that by giving them the why, it's beautiful to watch them and how they conduct themselves from it. And I take notes of that as well, just for my own personal
Yes.
development of thinking, wow, I wish I would have had that outlook on life when I was their age. But I just love, they teach me just as much as I teach them, so that why is so important. And I do want to bring up, if you want to show up for those who are watching the video, if you can put up your cover again with Not Today Frank is the title of the book. I just love it, and it's just so colorful and interactive. I just appreciate the book, but can we talk a little bit about Frank? Because it's so funny because I would say in the last couple of weeks or so, when things happened and I'm like struggling internally, that's the catchphrase that comes to mind, is not today, Frank, not today. And so can you talk to us, because your book does touch on three different components, but can you talk to us a little bit? I know Frank can go very deep, but can you talk to us about Frank and what Frank is all about?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't want to give too much away because
That's
I
right.
want to keep you a bit curious about why. But it is my go-to tagline when I work with youth, not today, Frank. So what is Frank? Frank is what I often say when I'm working with the kids. It's your fear or your anxiety. When you give it a name, and when I'm working with the kids, they don't need my fear and my anxiety. I refer to it as Frank, but working with kids, they might call it something else, right? But when you take that, when you take your fear and your anxiety and you place it aside from you, so it's not part of you. A cute analogy that I also use when I'm working with them is, you're the Big Mac, and Big Mac is the real deal. So when I'm working with the kids, I'm like, you are who you are. You're strong. You are everything like that Big Mac, you know. Your Frank, or fear anxiety, is your side of fry. So you can have a Big Mac and be really content with yourself. You don't always need your side fry, and it could show up once in a while, and you can choose when to be part of eating that fry, or you can decide, no, not today. I don't need the fry. And so, Not Today, Frank has always been my tagline when I work with kids, because when you can name what it is that you're managing, fear and anxiety, and you can place it away from you, then you can manage it a lot better rather than it being in seeping within you, feeling like, I have an issue, and this is an issue that is a core part of me. Because we sometimes lose sight of that, because anxiety can kind of rear its ugly head and then provide that blurriness about fears and worries around you. However, when you take Frank, or when you place it on the side, Frank, you can now have a little bit more control with how you're going to respond. Not in all cases, but in some cases, it's helpful when we can separate those emotions and those feelings, right? So, Not Today, Frank has always been my humorous line, because the lot of work that I do with youth, we need humor. And so we have a lot of fun with Frank, and then of course their rendition of their Franks, right? And so in sessions sometimes we're like, okay, what has been Frank, like, what's Frank been up to? And we have a lot of fun with it, because when you can do that with them, and they can see that they have a lot more control, they can manage the simpler worries and stressors a lot easier. And I find that's been very effective in the work. So I had no choice. I think I actually knew the name of the title of the book before I even wrote the book, because I've been saying Not Today, Frank, for years, and kids love that. And that's where that sort of surfaced. But there's a lot more to Frank. And
Yes.
Frank has a few sidekicks in my book. So you'll have to grab a copy and hear about all of his buddies along the way that kind of support all the different emotions that youth kind of go through. So again, humor is the best medicine, as we say, and teens love that kind of thing, and it's been very helpful in my practice.
They really do. And I like the idea of, I know disassociating may not be the right word because people associate that to something else, but in this case, to detach ourselves from the emotion, because emotions are just temporary and
Yes.
they only reflect what's going inside of us. We could be going through the same situation, but we're not reacting to it the same way. So it's really a personal thing. So I love the fact that you're using that to show kids that they don't need to attach themselves to that emotion. It is a temporary emotion. It'll pass. So
It will pass.
let
And I
Frank
always, yeah.
walk by, let him do his thing, and then he can go home. just let him be. I
And you
love
know
it.
what? And to be fair, sometimes we need Frank, right? Sometimes we
Yes.
need anxiety. We need anxiety for performance, or we need anxiety, to know that if we're in the woods and we see a bear, we need anxiety, right? Anxiety is not a bad thing. We need it in our lives. So Frank needs to show up and hang out with us at times, but Frank doesn't always need to be our every breath. And
That's right.
it's funny that you say that because, a lot of anxiety brings on a lot of thoughts in people, right? It's the thoughts that they're feeling. And I always say, yes, you can have a whole bunch of thoughts, but not all thoughts are facts. They're not all factual. And so when we can kind of look at our thoughts, we have 6 to 10,000 thoughts a day, from the time we wake up till we go to bed. Some of them are very important thoughts that we need to pay attention to. But there's also this ongoing thought that shows up that maybe doesn't need as much attention, or we can just pass it along because that's Frank showing up as an unwanted guest. And let's just pass that one along a little bit, right?
That's right.
Because thoughts are not always facts. And once they start to know, and I use that analogy a lot because a lot of the kids I work with are gamers. And so I think, just imagine a game where you've got all these thoughts coming at you and you're trying to, shut them down. Which ones are the good ones that we want to keep and hold on to that are our core? And the ones that are not so helpful to us, let them, pass through, and let's not, or take them down. And again, it's that education, because the more education you give them, then they start to know how to work along with, their whole core, and it becomes very effective. So
Yeah.
yes, not today, Frank has been my go-to tagline forever, even in my own world, right? Like sometimes I'll get myself worked up about something. I'm like, okay, not today, Frank. Show up
That's
later today. Come back and visit me later, but not today.
Not
Not
today.
right now.
That's right. I love that because it is important to have those are not necessarily bad emotions, it's how we handle them. And I love this is why I like talking, because you have an older audience than what I work with, and it's similar where I use clouds. When you look up at the clouds and there's some clouds that you really like and fluffy, they have a shape that you like, you're gonna hold on to those. Those storm clouds can pass, we don't want
Right.
those. So it's the same. They're there, you notice them, they're just passing through, let them pass, and then focus on the nice fluffy fluffy ones. So
Yeah.
yeah, I love how it transforms into, yeah, just this buddy of yours. It's a fun friend to have, but not all the time necessarily. He doesn't have to, crash at your
And
house all
that's,
the time. Yeah.
and you know what? That's the thing, is I never suggest that Frank is negative. I just we ha there's a time and a place, and all emotions are required as humans, and anxiety is important. It's just, how do we manage them? And there are some cases, I'll be honest, there are some cases where some of these I guess steps and directions that I provide may not always be successful depending on the circumstances of what's actually really happening. However, when you try your best to kind of get them to see where it's at, and then especially when you're starting to deliver this information to the little minds, as they evolve into youth, just putting this in repetition, and me just using it, now I'm using Frank, but you use the clouds. It's just showing up in a different sort of format, but it's a lifelong, and we all face this kind of thing, and we just need to have the right tools and the skill set to do the best work. And I think that's the most important part. And to be fair, and I'm sure you agree with me on this one, it needs to be a course in school.
It is, yeah. It really does,
Yeah.
and it's so important to start young enough when they're feeling it. Like right now, I mean, the reality that I'm dealing with now is back to school. There's a lot of
I know.
anxiety that comes from that. It doesn't matter which grade you're going into, whether it's your first kindergarten day or just going back into the same class. You don't know what your teacher is going to be, how your classes are going to be, or your friends going to be in your class, that kind of thing. The anxiety is big. So starting young. Give them a fighting chance, because it is a lifelong thing. You need to readjust. It's not a quick fix, like you said. It's not a 45 second TikTok reel. This is a lifelong thing. So I just love it, and I could talk to you so much longer about this, but I'm gonna kind of see. I do want to ask a question, which will be different. I did mention that you will be the first one I asked, because I generally ask my guests who they or what they want to be when they grow up. But I wanted to switch it up a little bit, and with the work that you do and what you see in the world right now, with all of the problems that we can see or the challenges that we see, is there a one challenge in particular that the world is facing now that you would like to work on fixing? Or
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, there's so much out there, right? And I think because we've been subjected to a lot of uncertainty in the last little while, given the pandemic, and the way the world politics and what's happening at large. I mean, I think, in terms of mind management, and what I refer to by mind management is, just having the skill set to manage, like we were just talking about, anxiety across the board, right? I mean, I think we have a place in this earth, right? Or not earth, but placed here right now, where we are seeing anxiety at an all-time high. We've got mental health in our youth and across the board as an all-time high. And I think much of what we've done is we've been in a protective mode for very long. Because we've had to protect ourselves from, the pandemic. We've had to protect ourselves, and we continue to, because there's a lot of uncertainty of what's and where life is going. But I think where we really need a lot more support is in resilience. We need resilience in terms of those life skills. How do you build resilience? How do you create a very strong teen that's walking into the adult world? And we need to really take a step back and look at the tools that they need in their back pocket, possibly, to keep them feeling confident that this world will be okay, and that they can walk through this world without, that fear that the world has created. And I think if we can start to get people feeling stronger and more capable, I think that would be very helpful moving forward, because I think we're missing those key components in terms of building those reps and those skill set to build the resilience. Because walking this in the world right now seems to be very fearful, rightfully so. But if we have the right tools, it doesn't have to be. And I think that is a place where I would like to see more education and more growth. And I think that will just help not completely remove the mental health anxiety and the fears, but I think it'll definitely support that human in a much better way, I would think. But, that's just my take on what I think needs. But there's so much out there, in terms of what can we do to better our society. But that is one area that I'm very passionate about. And it's one area that I wake up and I just try my hardest to build that in each family that I work with. And my book also supports that. And so I'm hoping that, it's a movement or a new mindset that we can kind of build in long, I want it to outlive me, kind of thing.
Of course. Of course. That's the whole point, right? It's we want to make sure that we're setting, it's a generational thing. I love that.
That's right.
I love how you said, because that's something I say often is to keep the human in in us, right? And those, this anxiety, all of it is part of it. But in this fast pace, you know, we need to disregard so many things. We need to be careful of over other people, but we're disregarding ourselves. I think it's so important to say, yeah, we need the human. We need the human in everything that we choose to do. So I love that. I really enjoy you sharing that with me. With us. Before we go, and I will add this to the description, but how can we get your book? How can people follow you or contact you if they want more information, or if they want to work with you?
Okay. Yeah. So right now my book is just sitting on Amazon. And there is one, like, you know, bookstore in Ottawa, Singing Pebbles, that has taken it on the shelf down in the Ottawa Main Street area. However, right now it's just sitting on the Amazon account. So it's there in its form, but it also comes in is it Kindle? I think it's Kindle.
The Kindle,
yeah.
E-book.
I'm seriously looking at possibly putting in an Audible book, because I think that would be very helpful for a youth just to listen, because they prefer listening. But we're not quite there yet, but it could be happening in 2026. Not sure though. In terms of how people can reach me as well, my company is called Healthy Roots, and as a pathway, R-O-U-T-E-S, and that'll be in the show notes, I'm sure. And I work within the Ottawa area, but I also work, you know, virtually across, you know, the country and all through, you know, the state, everywhere kind of thing. So if you're looking to want to get to know some of my services and the type of work that I do, all of the information will be found on Healthy Roots. And I really appreciate this time with you. I mean, I love, thank you for including me back again, because it's always a pleasure. I wanted to really show off my book. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to give my book a big hug, because it means the world to me. And, you know, again, thank you for, you know, supporting me as you always do. And I hope the book gets out to families and to educators and so on and so forth. Because I really believe that it's the tools that, like I said, will help promote resilience and stability in families. And it's so small. I think the whole book is maybe 35, 40 minutes tops to read it. So very simple, easy book with big, loud information in it, right? So,
I love it.
You know,
that's what
enjoy that's it for those that decide that they want to pick it up. And I'm available for services as well. So that's how you can get in touch with me.
That's wonderful. And thank you for sharing that book, for bringing it out there. Because like you said, there's a lot of books on parenting, but for something that speaks out to the youth directly, I think there's a lack there, and it's so important to have it. So thank you. And I will even go further and say, for people who do enjoy the book, don't forget to leave a review. It's so important so that the book can actually go out and reach more families that will need it. So it's important to leave those reviews. So if you do get it on Amazon, please leave that review. So important.
Thanks.
I am preaching that now, because that's the way that it gets out to the right people.
Yeah.
And so you're helping in a one sentence or two, you're actually helping many more families. So don't forget to do that. And I'll put all the information, the website and all of the Amazon link as well in the description, so you can have a look. Thank you. And is there anything else? I'm going to put you on the spot there. Is there anything else you'd like to add
The only thing I will add is I just wish all the families out there, it's always a challenge going into, you know, we've all had that summer break. And I think, you know, moving into September is always challenging for people that have children, because it is a hard transition. So wishing you all the very best in that transition from home life to school. It's not easy. Just pause and just know that, you know, once they get going, you know, things do eventually work out. But wishing you and all the families the best in what September holds coming up, and hoping that 2025 and 26 school year is a good year moving forward. I think that's important, because it needs to be recognized that it isn't an easy transition. And just if we normalize that, then we can just kind of take a step back and breathe and say, we've got this, we can do this again, right? And for all the teachers out there that are bringing all, you know, the kids back in, I'm wishing the teachers a lot of success too in that. So that's my parting words for, you know, going into the end of the summer. And, you know, those that are still on holidays, enjoy yourself, and that's kind of it that I've got right now. Thanks for putting me on the
Oh,
spot on that one. I wasn't expecting
right.
that, but there you go.
I know, I realize that, but it just kind of flow. I'm like, there's got to be parting words. I know you could handle it. So. Thank you so much, Jennifer. And again, anytime, whenever you want to come on, I think you bring so much wonderful insight that will help the families out there, because it is a lot of people are that they don't want to touch the adolescent world. It is so complex. It is, this is where you really realize that everybody is different. You don't have a cookie cutter solution. And it's beautiful work that you do. So thank you for sharing
Thank
it
you.
with us. And for everybody watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to go check out Jennifer's work and get a book, even if it's for yourself. Honestly, yes, I love it. Not today, Frank. And it works for adults. Trust me. Get it for yourself if you need to. Your partner, so whichever way it can work. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.